This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Attention of the politicians. We've had an earthquake. We've had a hurricane. He said, are you going to start listening to me here?
Hi, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and obviously that was Michelle Bachman.
And I'm Dan Barker, and what do we have to do to get your attention? This is Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. Welcome to the September 3rd, 2011 broadcast of the show, Radio for the Rest of Us. The show broadcasts from Madison, Wisconsin, and we podcast and we also broadcast in Atlanta, Grand Rapids, Monterey, and New York City.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We work to keep state and church separate. We are the nation's largest national association of freethinkers, so we work to educate the public about non-theism. And this is your reminder, get your rooms booked now for FFRF's 34th annual convention, the weekend of October 7th and 9th in Hartford, Connecticut. The room rate is supposed to be held through September 6th. That's the day after Labor Day. So act now. Go to our website at FFRF.org. There's all kinds of ads for our convention, or you can go to outreach and find out. You call the hotel, the Hartford Marriott downtown, and ask for the FFRF room block. And it's time to make your plans now. We have Steve Pinker. We have Joe Taylor, who was the former Christian evangelical. We have three student activist awardees. We have Rebecca Goldstein,
Neuberger
Goldstein, 36 Bad Arguments for the Existence of God. She's going to go through it. We have Charles Strauss, the Broadway composer, and many more, Jerry Coyne, evolutionist. So make your plans now.
And the former Christian rocker, Joe Taylor, will be talking about his deconversion. Later on today's show, we're going to talk with Jerry DeWitt. He's a fellow clergy person, like me, who has turned atheist. He's been part of this new clergy project that we've been talking about, and he's one of the first two graduates of that. Just this summer, he came out of the closet. He's now no longer preaching. He told everybody he's a non-believer. So we're going to hear his story in about a half an hour.
And we're going to devote most of the next two segments to updates on the furor that FFRF's legal complaints are creating in Mississippi. But before we do that, if you don't mind, Brian Tranny is our engineer. Could we listen again to that Michelle Bachman comment?
And I don't know how much God has to do to get the attention of the politicians. We've had an earthquake. We've had a hurricane. He said, are you going to start listening to me here?
So, according to this ultra-religious candidate, the earthquake 2 weeks ago on the East Coast, the tropical storm Irene hitting the East Coast this week, were truly acts of God. God wanted to wreak destruction to get our attention. And we're expected to worship this God?
Wouldn't it be better if instead of having a day of Thanksgiving, because of this, we had a day of cursing God? Look what he did.
Well, like Hasa Diga Ibowai, as the Book of Mormon would say. And wouldn't that be like an out-of-control dad mad at his kids for having a messy house, setting the house on fire, or mad at his kids for not cleaning up after they brush their teeth, drowning them in the bathtub?
What does it take to get your attention?
And of course, Bachman tried to say after the inevitable backlash of criticism about her remarks, gee, these were in jest. Well, it didn't sound like a joke to me.
Michelle Bachman has proved that she's not a fair weather Christian. She's a foul weather Christian. She believes in that primitive superstition of this spiteful and smiteful Old Testament God.
And I do want to say, it is so callous of believers to claim natural disasters are God's will, because look at the individual tragedies because of Tropical Storm Irene. An 11-year-old boy crushed in his North Carolina bed, now dead, a person stepping out into a porch only to be electrocuted. This attorney, it was in the New York Times last week, he has a three-year-old child, and he was volunteering as an EMT. He ended up being swept away and dying because he was trying to help someone he thought was possibly stranded in a flooded car. And then it turned out that the fuses were going and flashing the car. No one was there. I mean, this is all premeditated by God. He arranged this to teach us a lesson, to get our attention. What kind of a deity would that be? Now, before we talk about another hysterical reaction to FFRF's legal victory ending unconstitutional school-led prayer over the intercom at football games in the South, we do have some nice coverage of FFRF's free thought actions.
One of our purposes is to educate the public about non-theism. And we took our educational message, our signature billboard that says, "Imagine No Religion," to Terre Haute, Indiana this month, thanks to a benefactor there who prefers not to be named. The billboard is near the fairgrounds in Terre Haute, and here's some TV coverage by WTHI.
You may have driven past it and not even noticed its message. A large billboard along the west side of US 41 is catching some attention. Displayed high in the sky, it reads, "Imagine No Religion." The message is being put out by the nonprofit group called Freedom From Religion Foundation. It is the largest association of atheists and agnostics. A Terre Haute member anonymously paid for the billboard, but some are not finding its message helpful.
It don't need to be there. If you ain't got something to believe in, then you might just shut the doors and stay home.
The group behind the sign is based out of Madison, Wisconsin. They've had a billboard displayed in Indianapolis for over a year and some in more than 50 cities across the U.S. You can find the billboard near the Wabash Valley Fairgrounds.
Now, in Mississippi, all heck is breaking loose over our ongoing complaints about religion in the public schools in DeSoto County. FFRF staff attorney Stephanie Schmidt sent out a letter of complaint when we were contacted by parents over illegal football prayers at the high school football matches. The prayers were halted, but this is a huge controversy in the area. The town is Hernando, and it's right on the border just south of Memphis, Tennessee, so there's been a lot of coverage in the two-state region. We're going to play some of the TV coverage. It's the best way for this ongoing saga to unfold. First, coverage from last Friday about one of the first football games at a DeSoto County high school after the football prayers were stopped as a result of FFRF's complaint.
And we do want to warn you, the quality of reporting has varied widely. And this particular report is by Joy Lambert, ABC 24, and we did not find it particularly fair and balanced.
Tonight's top story at 10, DeSoto County Schools said it is not allowed anymore, but parents did it anyway. Prayer filled the air at the first football game since the district enforced a ban on public praying at school events. An atheist group called the practice unconstitutional. ABC 24's Joy Lambert reports the parents call what the atheist group says unacceptable.
Well, Joyce, as you can see behind me, the bleachers are full. A lot of people here tonight for the football game, but a lot of people here just to stand up in prayer. Hundreds of people stood for the national anthem. Then a moment of silence, as if waiting for the familiar prayer over the loudspeaker. Instead of one loud, booming voice, it was hundreds of small ones reciting the Lord's Prayer. Their message quiet, but powerful. Angie Jackson says she was upset when she heard an atheist group was attacking DeSoto County's prayer policy.
We need to get it back. We need to fight. As Christians, we all need to stand together and fight.
You know, it bothers me as a parent, as a Christian, that you know, just being able to pray in public, it's just something that I believe in, and I want to be able to, I don't want to see it go away.
Even students say prayer over the loudspeaker is something they'll miss.
And it's something that motivates our team, and it's just something that we've always done, and I don't think they should have taken it away.
It's showing God's like light shining through like everybody, you know.
And there are hundreds of people here tonight, and every person that I interviewed, none of them disagreed with prayer. They all wanted to keep it here on the football games, in the schools even. And they say that even if it doesn't continue over the loudspeaker, that they're going to continue it at football games. Live in South Haven, Joy Lambert, ABC 24 News.
The atheist group that called for the ban is based in Wisconsin. They sent a letter to DeSoto schools after receiving a complaint from a DeSoto County student.
Did you hear that she said? You couldn't even hear the prayer, but she said it was quiet, but powerful.
So this student or this reporter couldn't find even one single person who didn't believe school prayers should be out of football games. But Natasha Chen with News 10 Memphis did not have that problem.
News 3 at 10 in Memphis.
News 3 at 10, excuse me. And she did some excellent reporting.
You would give everybody a wonderful game tonight, and that you would be glorified in everything that we do, God. And it's your name I pray. Amen.
This Friday's football was unlike what many in this community have seen. Instead of illegal school-led prayer over the loudspeaker, impromptu moments took over. Sophomore Kayla Andrada started this prayer group.
If you don't want to pray, I mean, you don't have to come. But I mean, if you'd like to, that'd be nice.
Most praying tonight say they understand why the intercom prayer is outside the law. Some parents organize the Lord's Prayer, saying they're just exercising their free speech.
We just chose to stay completely within the means of the law and pray anyway and just use our voice.
Still, the departure from tradition bothers some.
The convenience of using the loudspeaker is just another method that non-Christians sometimes use when they feel threatened by the fact that we do pray.
But look at it from Cassie Green's point of view. She's Jewish, and the intercom prayer did used to bother her.
I'm just kind of disappointed because it's not really ignorant, but they just don't really think of other people and how that affects others and what that makes them feel like.
Now she sees this controversy as a chance for everyone to rethink their actions, not taking prayer for granted, and allowing everyone to stand by their own beliefs.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu.
They get to do what they want to do, and it doesn't affect anyone in a negative way. So that's why I'm doing this, because it's not affecting anyone. Me being Jewish doesn't affect anyone being Christian.
And there may not be any more pray over the intercom this year at DeSoto County Schools, but people here tell me they're going to do a whole lot more praying from now on, prayer of all kinds.
So while the superintendent did in fact stop the prayer, he sent out a memo to school officials that made highly disparaging and untrue comments about FFRF. Here's a report updating this by Natasha Chen from WREG 10 Memphis.
Tonight, the fight over pregame prayer in DeSoto County could soon wind up in court.
The school district agreed to stop pregame prayer over the loudspeaker after receiving a threatening letter from a Wisconsin-based group called the Freedom from Religion Foundation.
But it is the way the superintendent banned the pregame ritual that has the group upset now. Natasha Chen is live with this latest twist in the case that has already angered many Mid-Southerners. Natasha.
Richard, the DeSoto County School says they don't want to comment because there's a possibility of litigation here. Now, it's not just school prayer, but possibly defamation. The Freedom from Religion Foundation started this protest, and now they want a retraction and apology from the superintendent. This is what's adding fuel to the fire. Superintendent Milton Kirkendall said to his employees that the Freedom from Religion Foundation doesn't care whether there's actual prayer going on. Quote, they see an opportunity to try and accuse us of breaking the law and therefore give them a chance to sue our district and win a lawsuit and take millions of our funds.
We do care vitally about students being told to pray by a school district. We do not make millions. We do not make any money at all on our litigation impact.
The Freedom from Religion Foundation is a nonprofit group. They say if they have to take a case to court, they don't ask for damages, only attorney fees. The co-founder says Superintendent Kirkendall is defaming their organization. Some agree it was inappropriate.
When you're in that kind of position, a superintendent of a school in the, you know, spotlight like that, you shouldn't express that kind of opinion.
While others say it was exactly that, his opinion.
As far as I know, that's not defamation. That's just, you know, his opinion of what they're doing. They're in it for the money. That's his opinion.
Friday, the Freedom from Religion Foundation sent their second letter to DeSoto County Schools, and they quoted the Bible when talking about organized prayer at public school events.
If you're not impressed with the Constitution that we live under, and that would be very disappointing, then at least take heed the warning of Jesus in Sermon on the Mount, who warns about hypocrites who want to pray in public.
In her letter to Kirkendall, she quotes, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Now, the Freedom from Religion Foundation has asked for an immediate response as to whether the superintendent will issue a retraction and apology. So far, DeSoto County Schools tells us they have no comment. Reporting live in South Haven, Natasha Chen, WREG News Channel 3.
Yeah, I wish we'd made millions of dollars on these things. Actually, though, we did make $1 back in 2004 in a lawsuit. The $1 was requested on behalf of a dad we went to court for in Ray County, Tennessee.
And he has that dollar framed. It didn't come to us.
Yep.
I'm Annie Laura Geller with Dan Barker. Coming up, Jerry DeWitt, a former fundamentalist preacher who has come out of the closet as an atheist.
Hi, my name is Doug, and I'm from Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we co-direct the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which produces this weekly show, and we encourage you, not someday, but today, to join us. Go to FFRF.org, become a card-carrying, dues-paying, atheist, agnostic, or Freedom Frommer.
So we recap the furor that FFRF's complaint about illegal football prayers is creating in schools in Hernando, Mississippi. That's DeSoto County.
And that sparked an additional complaint in the same county. Often the case, when we receive one complaint, it goes public and we end the violation, but then other parents come forward to report similar violations.
A new holy war. Good evening, I'm Lauren Learney. There's a new battle brewing down in DeSoto County schools over religion, this time over the good book. The Freedom From Religion Foundation says Gideon's International is handing out Bibles to fifth graders, and they want it to stop. This is the same group that successfully stopped school-organized prayer at football games last week. Earlier today, we caught up with an FFRF Mid-South spokesman who says kids shouldn't feel pressured in schools by religious groups allowed inside.
You can have your beliefs without estranging or ostracizing other people, and particularly when it comes to kids. It's really neutral. It needs to be hands-off. Let the parents decide what kind of philosophical or religious belief they want the kids to have.
All right, Fox 13's Bofta Yamam is here with more on this. What's the latest on this controversy?
Well, on the prayer controversy, which took place last week, they talked a lot about prayers being allowed during school-sponsored events, and that appears to be resolved at this point. The school cited that they're not allowed to use the PA system for prayers, but that students on their own and parents can do it, just not by an authority-led figure, Lauren.
So what about this apology that the FFRF was asking for? Did that ever happen?
Well, they haven't received an apology yet. They say at this point they're most focused on making sure that the Bibles aren't allowed in the schools, Lawrence.
What do you think we're going to see from the superintendent? Is he going to open his mouth again?
Well, I don't know if they'll open their mouth again. I don't know if we'll see an apology, but it seems that they will at least consider the possibility of not going into litigation, because we know that can get expensive. So it sounds like they're going to try their best to resolve this.
So, as I always say, as parents, we assiduously coach our children not to accept gifts from strangers. And here are these great big adult Gideons praying on our 10-year-old children. They go into the schools, into the fifth grade, handing out New Testament Bibles without parental knowledge or consent. I think they should pick on people their own size and age, proselytize people in churches, but our captive audience of school children must be protected from that sexist Gideon society, who do not even allow women to be full members. We are auxiliary members to support our male proselytizers. So there's so many reasons that it's wrong for missionaries to use our public schools like recruiting territory.
By the way, that was a very brave foundation member who was willing to go on TV down in that county to stand up for neutrality in religion in the public schools. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laura Gaylor. Stay tuned for Free Thought Radio. When we come back after the break, we'll be talking with a freshly graduated preacher, a preacher who has truly been saved. His name is Jerry DeWitt. He was a Pentecostal minister in Louisiana, and just this summer came out of the closet, announced that he's no longer a believer, and boy, is his life a lot different. So we'll be talking with Jerry in the second half of Free Thought Radio.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
Hi,
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021, that's 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
In previous shows, we've talked a bit about this new group that is forming, a group that you cannot join unless you are a clergy member, a pastor, a preacher, a priest, a rabbi, who either has left the ministry or who wants to leave the ministry. The group is called the Clergy Project. It's been in existence since March, and we're about to go public with the public webpage, and it's not quite ready, but in a couple of weeks, you might be able to find it up and ready to go at clergyproject.org. It's to help ministers who are in the pulpit who want to get out of the pulpit. Right now, there's about 25 active clergy and about 50, more than 50 former clergy like me, and we're happy to announce that two of the active clergies have actually graduated already, and one of them we have on the phone with us today. Jerry DeWitt was a Pentecostal minister in the South. He lives in Louisiana. He mostly preached in independent churches. He preached in the UPC, which is United Pentecostal Church, and in a kind of small Pentecostal denomination called the Assemblies Apostolic Faith Churches, if I'm saying that right. But anyway, we're proud to announce that we should give him a diploma, I guess. Jerry DeWitt has just come out of the closet and has announced that he is now no longer a believer. So welcome to Free Thought Radio, Jerry.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it very much. And also hello to you, Annie Laurie.
Yes, I got the pleasure of meeting you at New Orleans 2 weeks ago at the New Orleans Secular Humanist Association's, I think it was their 10th anniversary banquet. And you got up and made some impromptu remarks, and that they were very hard to overshadow when I got up to speak, really fiery and passionate about why you left the church. So we're looking forward to this interview.
So you told us... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say thank you very much for your compliments, but I assure you, Annie Laurie, your presentation made the night.
Was that the first time you were in a room full of non-believers?
Yes, sir. That was the very first time, and I guess that was my official coming out party or coming out moment. But now this is a much larger audience, so I guess maybe this should be the official.
Well, whatever. It's we're all in the same boat. We're all going down together on this thing. Now, I think it was you who said this. You started preaching when you were 17. Are you the guy in our group in the Clergy Project that said that you made this career choice before you were old enough to buy beer and you found yourself stuck with it?
Yes,
tell us a little bit about your story, why you went into the ministry, what you believed, and then what happened.
Well, I was partly raised by what we call apostolic parents. That's Pentecostals in the holiness movement outside of the United Pentecostal Organization, independent Pentecostals. My grandparents had a strong influence in my life, so I was around religion, the Bible, God, prayer, speaking in tongues, dancing in the Spirit, all of those things from my birth. But it wasn't until I was 17 that I actually attended a youth camp meeting in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and was saved under Jimmy Swaggart's ministry. So
at
17, before I was old enough to vote or buy a beer, I had already made a lifetime commitment.
When you say Jimmy Swaggart's ministry, do you mean that he was there at a tent show revival?
It was at his church. You know, his home church is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And at that time, it was before all the scandals, that was the place to go. And he had an annual youth camp meeting there with thousands and thousands of young people in attendance. And I happened to be one of them. And in one of the services, that's when I had my salvation experience.
Incredible. But he was a pretty good piano player. I have to give him that. You know?
Absolutely.
So then you started preaching right away?
Immediately. I remember saying to the person who brought me, I had never been in a church that large. All the churches I had been in were much smaller. So this was the mega church of it today, now 25 years ago. And I remember asking the person I was with, I said, how many seats are in this building? And I think they said something like 8,000. And during the course of the services, I was so impressed and so caught up in the actual, the ministry itself, that I remember turning to the sponsor and saying, out of all the seats in this 8,000 seat auditorium, the one Jimmy Swaggart's sitting in is the only one to be in. And so, you know, before I was even saved, I was already desiring to be in the ministry.
So did you go to school for it, or did you just start preaching?
Just started preaching. Came back, and my family, there was a lot of different things going on at that time. Whenever I was towards the end of graduating from high school, a young lady that I was dating at the time, her family was Baptist. So I began to attend the Baptist church with her, and that was a very, as you know, un-Pentecostal environment. And that really was the beginning of my desire to better understand doctrine and understand the differences of doctrine. Because here I'd left this youth camp meeting filled with the Spirit and came back to a Baptist Bible study, if you will. And that's really where I began to pick up my education, and I just had to learn as I went. As soon as I made myself available as a minister, I just had to learn it the hard way, learn it on my knees, if you will.
So were you kind of like I was, that even though there's a billion claimed Christians on the planet, there actually really aren't that many true Christians? It's only a small group.
Absolutely. And that was, you know, Dan, honestly, one of the biggest problems for me was that I'd come from a home, an environment where I grew up that was very, very chaotic, and I wanted to see people get along. I wanted to see people unified. And immediately when I was thrown into the church world, thrown into the ministry, there was nothing but division in every direction. This church didn't believe that church was saved. This doctrine didn't believe that doctrine could save you. And so I immediately started trying to figure all those things out. And that did nothing but, over the years, solidify my doubt in the whole thing.
What took you so long? 25 years, was it?
Yeah, 25 years. There's a lot of things. You know, I got married while I was evangelizing as a Pentecostal minister. Had a son a couple of years later. It was how we made our living. It is who our families are. My wife's family is Pentecostal. My grandmother, which is the matriarch of our family, she's probably the person I have the closest relationship to on the planet, and she's very Pentecostal. Everyone in our world was Pentecostal and are religious. And so it really just wasn't a thought that you could entertain. Matter of fact, let me tell you, all the way back in the early 90s, I was exposed to your book, your very first book. And, of course, I just wasn't anywhere near the place I needed to be take advantage of it.
Losing Faith in Faith?
That's exactly right.
Well, how did you come in contact with that?
You know, I can't even remember now. The more I think about it, it seems like I stumbled across it at a bookstore, just trying to find something in the religious section. I don't know if somebody had picked it up and misplaced it. I'm not sure how I got a hold of it. But I remember looking through it, reading the chapters and, the chapter titles, and right then knowing all the way back in the early 90s, that something was definitely wrong with my path, but I wasn't anywhere near being able to make any kind of changes.
Well, I wanted to ask a question about whether the really disgraceful downfall of Jimmy Swaggart was part of your awakening. I mean, that must have been...
Maybe it was in some ways, but to be honest with you, I was very aware of, as we'd say in the church world, of my own humanity. You know, I was very aware that I was not a perfect person and really never really expected him to be either. I wasn't one of those people that whenever he fell, I thought, well, you know, everybody who got saved under his ministry must not then be saved because he's not a real man of God. I never felt that way. I was embarrassed, and it was almost impossible to defend among my friends who knew that I was a big Swaggart fan. But it really didn't affect me that way. Now, I'll tell you what it did do. It did lessen my confidence in my own ability to get over the issues of the flesh, if you will.
Well, that's exactly what you have to say if you're defending a faith in one of the leaders. You know, you say, well, you can't blame the religion for the shortcomings of its leaders, you have to say something like that. Otherwise, the whole thing crumbles.
Absolutely. That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, so how many years, having these doubts, how many years into this did you really start to wonder whether there was a God, whether the Bible was inerrant, and so on?
Well, as horrible as it is to admit, I had doubts the entire way through. That's what's going to shock my friends and family the most, because I very seldom let down my guard and showed any of those doubts. But I had doubts the entire time. I've just always been a science buff. I've always been a natural-born skeptic. And there was always a part of my mind that could not completely surrender to what was going on around me. And the more I was involved in the ministry, the more I was behind the stage, if you will, behind the curtain, the more exposed I was to how things work and why they work that way. You know, it's all according to how you play the piano or the keyboard dictates the flow of the service, thus the flow of the spirit. All of those things registered with me. I couldn't let them go. I couldn't just write them off. Well, so really, from the very beginning, I had problems.
Well, there you go, Brother Jerry. If you had doubts from the beginning, then you weren't really a true Christian, you know?
That's going to be the easiest way for them to write me off, you know, and probably the more of them that do that, the better off I'll be. But that's exactly what they're going to say, is that I never really was a true Christian. But I'll tell you this, my wife and I, when my son was about 4 years old, we sold everything that we could sell. What we couldn't sell, we packed into a white Ford Aerostar van, and we drove all the way to Des Moines, Iowa, and left everybody we know just to pursue the ministry. So if I did that and was never really saved, then I don't know what all these saved people are doing with their time.
Well, that sounds a lot like you, Dan.
Well, then none of them were saved. People say that to me today. And, you know, the Bible even says, whatever the Bible's worth, that you shall know them by their fruits. It doesn't matter whether
sure.
they profess. And my life and your life exhibited the fruits of the Spirit. So who are they
Absolutely.
To say who was saved and who wasn't, or who was sincere and who wasn't? But if you weren't a true Christian, then nobody is. Did you feel it? Did you, like, pray in the Spirit and get goosebumps and feel the voice of
absolutely.
God and all that?
Spoke in other tongues, absolutely. The beginning of my evangelistic career showcased the gifts of the Spirit, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, those kind of things. And off and on at different times, I was just as convinced as everyone else was. You know, my poor story, it has about three different levels. There's the story that's going on in my mind the entire time, over 25 years, filled with doubts and skepticism. And then there's the life I'm experiencing. You know, each one of those experiences had an effect on what I was believing at that particular moment. And then there was just my heart, my own consciousness. Mike Williams, a minister that I made acquaintances with over in Houston, Texas, he's quoted as saying, "Is your heart kinder than your doctrine?" And the entire time, my heart was kinder than my doctrine.
Mm.
You know,
well,
I could
good.
Not put everybody in hell.
That's a good thing. I'm
Annie
Mary Gaylor with Dan Barker. We are talking with Jerry DeWitt, a Louisiana Pentecostal minister who has just publicly made known his dissent from religion. It's a very dramatic story. When we come back, Jerry, I want you to tell our listeners what you told the people in New Orleans 2 weeks ago about one of those moments that you had about doubting religion. I think you know what I mean. It's very dramatic, and we'll be right back.
Francisco Aguilar. I come originally from Argentina. I hear him Free Thought Radio, and I am glad that you are here to be able to give us a voice. Thank you.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker.
We are talking with Jerry DeWitt, who has just come out publicly as a non-believer after 25 years in the Pentecostal Independent Fundamentalist Faith Movement in Louisiana. It's a pretty dramatic story. So, Jerry, we are kind of waiting for this moment when all your doubts, when did you stop believing?
Well, I probably wasn't believing for some time, but when it became unbearable was just about 3 months ago. I had made this beautiful acquaintance with a young lady in our church. We've taken her into our home as if she were a daughter. And she called me late one night and said that her brother had been in a very, very deadly accident, and she wanted me to pray. And I knew she wanted me to pray on the phone right then, but I just couldn't. And the reason I couldn't is because I knew that it was unconscionable. I knew that it would not work. I knew there wouldn't be any positive effect. And it broke my heart, so I just sidestepped the issue. I got out of the conversation without praying, and I hung the phone up and just sat there and cried because I could not bring myself to pray for this young lady's situation that we love so much. And I thought, who in the world would have any idea what I'm going through? And I remembered the book from Dan. And I made contact through your website to get in touch with Dan.
So,
and that's what has brought this all together.
So you remembered his book, Losing Faith and Faith from Preacher to Atheist. And so, Dan, then you hooked him up with this new clergy project.
Clergy project, that's right.
And then for anybody who's just tuning in, briefly, what is that again?
Clergy Project is a brand new group which has been in existence since March. It's about to go public now. It's a group of clergy who are in the pulpit who want to get out. Priests, ministers, we have one rabbi, and maybe an imam is coming in pretty soon. So you can't join the group unless you are an active or former clergy. We have about 80 that are in the group now.
And this is getting some support from the Richard Dawkins Foundation with the website support, right? And Daniel Dennett, eminent philosopher from Tufts. And then who's his assistant?
Linda LaScola, who's doing phase two of the Preachers Who Don't Believe study. And I remember, Jerry, that feeling too. You and I used to possess this powerful, magical tool called prayer and faith healing. And we used to be able to walk around like we had this, what is it, this magical thing. And then to realize that we have been demoted to just normal human, well, maybe we've been elevated to normal human beings. And it's like we lost something, but we're kind of glad that we lost it.
Absolutely. It broke my heart to not be able to be honest with her. And to not just wrap my arms around her and tell her, look, we're going to be here for you. We're going to love you. We're going to support you. But our confidence is in the doctors and in the medical technology. Knowing what she wanted and knowing that I could no longer honestly give her that was the breaking point where I reached out for support. And, of course, the Clergy Project was the perfect, perfect, perfect program for support.
Now, at New Orleans at the NOSHA dinner, a lot of people were asking you questions. I was about your family, how your wife was taking this. And you said, you know, she was along on this ride with you about doubting religion pretty early.
That's right. The entire time, she never felt like she completely fitted in. All she wanted to do was just live a normal life. And as y'all are aware, when you're in the ministry, you have anything but the resemblance of a normal life. So she's been there the whole time. Our son in the background the entire time. We've raised him in a non-believing posture, not wanting him to get his head wrapped up in all of these other ideas that we knew were unprofitable for a happy life. And so, you know, we're fine as far as that's concerned. I have a secular job right now. Don't know if I'll have it after this broadcast, but I have it right now.
Well, what are the chances?
I'm able to make the move.
What are the chances that anyone else down there is listening to this show? So, but your life has to been impacted. You've lost a source of revenue. I mean, you collected love offerings, or you got paid for preaching?
Sure. Oh, when I was pastoring, I was paid very well, a steady salary. When I was pastoring, when I was evangelizing, I collected love offerings. It has been a huge hit to us financially. You know. And we're in a very precarious place as far as finances are concerned, but the benefits of actually being able, Dan and Lori, the benefits of actually being able to be ourselves outweighs all the possible loss.
And what about things like health insurance? Did you have that coverage as a minister?
Yes, when I was pastoring, actually, my house note was paid for through the salary that enabled that portion of income to be tax exempt.
You had the parish exemption, housing allowance.
Absolutely, that's right. That's right. All of those kind of things have been gone for a little while now.
So it's a whole new world.
It's a whole new world. It's a painful world as far as finances are concerned, but I just can't emphasize enough that we only have one life. For many of us, it's a short life, and it is worth every price we may ever have to pay in order to be ourselves. That is the only thing that we truly possess.
Because what is
our own individuality.
What is the price of integrity? It's priceless, you know?
It's priceless, that's right.
You either have it or you don't have it.
Sounds like we should have a new ad out like those MasterCard or Visa.
Being yourself, the
price priceless. Of conscious is priceless.
Well, so welcome to the real world. We're glad that you came out as a non-believer. And I suspect from hearing you talk and talking to you on the phone that you're kind of like me. You haven't really changed that much as a person. You still want to know the truth and you still want to speak the truth. That's the motivation that drove us into the pulpit. And the exact same motivation drove us out. And we're still wanting to speak and know the truth. And so it's not like we've succumbed Jimmy Swaggart, or we've succumbed to temptations, right. And we want to be atheists because we don't like moral restrictions in our lives.
That's right. That would be the only thing that I would try to add to say to all my friends or family members who might ever hear this. I'm the same person. I'm the exact same person I've been for the last 25 years, the same person who stood in the pulpit and loved you, who was at the funerals, who was at the weddings. It's still me, and I still love all of those people and would do anything for them. The only difference is I'm being completely honest about what I now believe.
Thank you so much for joining us.
We've been talking with Jerry DeWitt. He's a member of the New Clergy Project. He's a brand new graduate. After 25 years of preaching, has now come out as a non-believer. We also want to thank our engineer, Brian Tarani. Go to ffrf.org/radio to hear archives and sign up for the podcast.
Yes, and sign up for our national convention in October. Call 1-800-335-4021 for more information or go to ffrf.org. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday you'll join us.
When the whole world doesn't believe in God, it'll be a great place.